I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
After 4 o'clock, the iHeart app for the John and Ken on demand podcast, and you can listen to what you missed.
Yes, and next hour, of course, the Moistline folks are eager to share with you whatever they have an opinion on this week. We also have a hack for the dumpster. I guess it's a hack and a half. Is that a good way to put it?
A hack and a half?
Well, the other person's connected to the main hack.
Right.
But not a huge position and wouldn't really be known by most people. So we'll call it a hack and a half.
But they're going to go in the dumpster.
Well, yeah, because they said something ridiculously outrageous, too. So all this is coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. This hour, it's a shocking story in all of Southern California today. An Orange County judge has been arrested for shooting his wife to death. Now, that doesn't happen every day, does it? A long time. A 72-year-old man.
Mm, yeah.
And did you see the story when they came, the cops came and the helicopters were overhead? He came outside and they were telling him on the loudspeaker, drop your weapons. He said, I don't have any weapons, but I'm not getting on the ground. They wanted to get sprung.
Well, he was taken arrest.
I'm a judge.
Did he want to be taken out by the cops?
That's the quote I just read. That I don't know. I'm unarmed, but I'm not going to lie down on the ground.
They should have blasted
him. He kind of gave himself up, and we'll see what we can find out from Blake Trolley. We begin the hour, though, with that troublesome encampment in Playa del Rey on the west side. It's called the Bayona Wetlands. That is an environmentally sensitive habitat. And we have watched it for years develop into an RV encampment. People have been parking on Jefferson Boulevard right on the side there where the grass is by the wetlands. It's not just RVs. I've seen burnt out vans. I even see old school buses parked
there.
Yeah,
and there's about 50 of them maybe. The number went up and down.
Every time I go by, my jaw drops, but I've never counted.
Well, a week or two ago, Tracy Park, who is the council member who replaced the evil, idiotic Mike Bonin, said that she'd cleared out 25 RVs, 1,000 feet of encampment. And, you know, Ronald Reagan's old phrase about dealing with the Russians, you trust but verify.
And the way we do that is by talking to people in the neighborhood who are not in elected office. We do have a bulletin that was handed to us, an update. I'll be like you now. Tracy Park's office says they have cleared 3,000 feet of RVs. And as of this moment, only 3 RVs remain. They expect to get rid of the rest by early next week. But trust but verify, right,
trust
John?
Trust but verify. So we're going to talk to Lucy Han now, Friends of the Jungle.
That's a little community group that got formed, and I guess the jungle's referring to the wetlands and the whole, you get the idea there.
All right. Lucy, you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Well, I actually saw, though, your group was, Tracy Park gave you credit for being part of this original clearing out of the 1,000 feet. So I know that you're probably going to tell us it is going well, but we just want to hear your perspective.
It's going great. Tracy's doing a great job. We started out in 2021 with our nonprofit Friends of the Jungle, getting all the city council and the departments on board with the state. And she's taken over and she's coordinated with all these city agencies. And now she's enforcing the laws that say the RVs can't park there. And this is for a rehabilitation project in the wetlands.
So they've cleared 3,000 feet of RVs and there's really only three left?
I verified that. Yes, I've been down like every day for the past week.
Oh, that must look incredibly different. I have to go by there this weekend.
Incredible. We're doing backflips right now. We just got to make sure there's continued enforcement.
Yeah, exactly.
So they don't repopulate.
What do you think is working here?
What did she do that nobody else wants to do?
We've got Tracy on board, Mike Bonin. He wasn't very helpful. They've got this public works project. It's a rehabilitation of Biona Wetlands. Basically, what they're going to be doing is they're going to replant it and get rid of the sewage and try to bring it back to its natural state to be a great habitat for the endangered species.
How bad did it get from your guys' perspective?
Oh, my God. So bad. We had RVs with pipes coming out of their sewage tanks draining directly into the wetlands. It's bad.
That is so...
And that's that. That's not to mention the fires, the meth labs, the shootings. They found 3 ATMs in the wetlands last week.
What? 3 Crazy. ATMs?
3 ATMs. And there was an ATM found 2 years ago. So there might be another treasure.
They're stealing,
They steal ATMs and they bring them back to the encampment and open them up, I guess.
There you go. And exactly.
So
criminal element.
Mike Bonin wasn't bothered by this devastation of the wetlands, all the human sewage and the fires and the meth that never troubled him.
No, because that's why we had to get involved. We had to go to the city departments directly, bring them down to the wetlands to show them. That's normally Mike Bonin's job, but we had to do it for him, and still he refused to help us.
Right. Were you able to see how this worked? I don't know if you wanted to go there and see. What did they talk to the RV occupants, and they work out some place for them to go?
Yeah, they've done outreach for months, and even like last year they did outreach, but Tracy's finally on board and following through. But they've done outreach. They've offered shelter. Some people have taken the shelter. Some people have even given up their RVs. So we've just got a few stragglers left.
Did some just drive away? Remove.
I'm sorry?
Did some just drive away?
Some did drive away.
A lot of them aren't drivable.
Okay, so if they towed the RV, where did these RVs go? Because
into the garage, police garages.
Police garages. So there wasn't a problem finding locations to store these?
They had them for these, yeah. Tracy made sure she found space for them. She made us a priority. She made us a priority with Mayor Bass. And we were first on the list to have the RVs removed and made a priority.
So it seems all that you needed was one person with the drive to do the hard work.
The political will, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Just had to get up in the morning and take the steps to do all the work from reaching out, convincing them to move, towing away the RVs, and to set up a cleanup program.
Right, and she's been working months and months on this. You have to coordinate with so many different departments. We really appreciate it. And she's only been in office not even a year.
Well, the thing is, she has just a few months of time and no political experience before this, but she showed that it's not that difficult to have a dramatic effect, and all these other city council people are going, well, you know, we're working on it. It's very difficult. We don't have the facilities. We don't have this. We don't have that. You know, like Katie Yaroslavsky. Mm-hmm. Right? Nithya Raman. You know, and they have disaster areas that go on for blocks in their districts, and they've done nothing, and they have all these stupid, stupid excuses. And Tracy
Exactly. Tracy was able to do it. She doesn't come from, she doesn't have, like, she's not a politician. She's a real working person. Her background is she's an attorney. So she was able to do it her way and not have like, oh, we've got to have another study and another study and another study and keep delaying.
Studies.
She knew what the problem was. She knows that there's enough studies. So she did it.
Did any activists come and object to this? Any of those groups that usually show up at these?
I haven't seen. I mean, I wasn't down there on the day that they had the cleanup, but I don't know. I don't think so. I think I would have heard about it, but I don't know.
Yeah,
it wasn't a problem, though, because they are cleared. They're clearing them. So,
wow.
You know. Yeah, I mean, the RV thing has now become the story. We did Sylmar. We're talking about that East Gardena thing. And, of course, we've talked about the Biona Wetlands for years.
Yesterday.
Because a lot of the RV people say, I'm not homeless.
Yeah, the East Gardena.
What makes you think I'm homeless?
They're very resistant. They're very resistant because they have an RV.
Right. They think that's
your
shelter.
They don't want to go into shelters with rules. Yeah, exactly.
Right. But it's a question of where you park the RV.
We've talked about it. We've been working on this for a couple of years now. I've talked to you a couple years ago.
Yes, you were on the show a couple of years ago. And
that's right.
We've watched this thing
and now
grow.
We finally have action.
Well, this one just stunned me because it's such a beautiful preserve there, right? It's
pristine.
Something that
pristine.
Yeah, pristine. Yeah, it's something that everybody would want to protect.
And they thought about it to make sure there was no development there, but instead they let people park RVs there and stink up the whole place.
Yeah, I mean, human sewage.
Regular people couldn't go down. Just tourists. Children that have classes there from underprivileged areas, disadvantaged areas, they had them coming down to teach them environmental stewardship, but it wasn't safe.
Well, because yesterday and today we've done the story of East Gardena. They've got 500 of these RVs, all dilapidated, broken down, sewage pouring out of them. And they got crazy loony bags, Holly Mitchell, the county supervisor, who doesn't seem to know what to do. And it's like, hey, just look at what Tracy Park did. You do it. There's our blueprint here that worked, and it worked fairly quickly.
But as you said, Lucy, it's important.
Maybe she could share it.
Yeah,
maybe
Lucy, you said it's important to make sure they don't come back, though, right?
Correct. I believe Tracy Park, and she'll roll it out. She has a long-term plan that will also address repopulation. So hopefully that will roll out in the next 6 months.
All right. Always good to talk to you, Lucy. Thanks for coming on.
Great and talking to you guys.
Sharing the people's perspective. It's Lucy Hahn, Friends of the Jungle. And as John said, trust but verify. We wanted to just check in with residents of the area. This is the Biona Wetlands, Playa del Rey on the west side. And the update we get is that they're down to just a couple of RVs. That's remarkable if that can stay that way, too. All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
After 4 o'clock, you go to the John and Ken On Demand podcast on the iHeart app to see what you missed.
In 1 hour, the Moistline people are scheduled to blast off. We'll also have a hack for the dumpster. I just saw a headline on Fox News. Obama is concerned that next year the matchup is Biden against Trump. Even Obama's entered the fray. I don't know about this.
He actually had lunch with Biden, I read.
Oh, yeah.
A few days ago and was trying to, well, first of all, he had to keep slapping Biden to wake him up. And he was trying to counsel him and saying, Trump is not so easy to beat. Don't think this is going to be,
a cakewalk.
Right, no, because he's got a very devoted army behind him. And, but just be aware. Joe, hey, wake up, Joe. Yo.
That's really what we face.
I know.
They're still trying to figure out the timeline of the Trump trials. The Trump trials sounds like a real series. It looks like there's more and more talk that the latest one is going to be the first one, whenever that is. The latest one being the indictment that just came out this week from the special counsel, Jack Smith. Right. So they're thinking, because everyone thinks, first of all, the New York case, was it named Bragg, Alvin Bragg?
Mm-hmm.
He already said, whatever you want to do, you can. We're flexible on our trial date.
He's going to defer to the federal indictment.
He is going to defer. We think that the Florida with the boxes, that's also a federal, that might be pushed back too for so they can get this, the big one. This is the big one, obviously interfering, as they say, with the 2020 election and the whole January 6th thing. This is the big case against Trump, even though it's only 4 felonies.
Yeah, but it's extremely serious prison sentences involved in this. I mean, the crime, when you get into obstructing like a federal, what's the word for it? I couldn't think of the word yesterday and I can't think of it again today.
A federal
procedure. Okay.
Procedure?
A congressional
certification
procedure. There is also this from Georgia, Fulton County. where he's probably going to get indicted for interfering in
that election. They said they'll act by September 1st. They'll act one way or the other.
Right. So the sheriff's office has said that starting on Monday through August 18th, the roads around the courthouse are going to be closed to general traffic.
Aha! A tip-off.
The courthouse will be open to the public. Pedestrian traffic will be allowed, but no public parking will be permitted around the perimeter of the courthouse, which means that the indictment would come sometime during those 2 weeks, between the 4th and the 18th. And it's over phone calls that Trump made to the Georgia Secretary of State. He asked the secretary to find 11,000-plus votes to overturn Biden's election. And also phone calls to state officials, fake Republican electors, efforts to pressure election workers, claims of election fraud. And it looks like the DA in the case is ready to go.
Yeah, I think Trump's going to go 4 for 4, wipe them all out.
He could win all 4.
Well,
the thing is, he can't lose any of them.
That's true.
He can't go 3 and 1.
It does come with consequences, right?
All this stuff has major prison time.
Don't you think somebody in the jury is going to look at this and say, yeah, you know, he rightly thought there was a lot of fraud and he got legal advisors to tell him that maybe it's good to have an alternate slate of electors. And that just seems like a wise thing to do, that it's not so much he was trying to overturn the election results, but trying to find out the truth.
Right. So in Georgia and Florida, much higher chance of finding that guy. Washington, D.C., that's going to be more difficult. Just because
you think the boxes case is, well, yeah, that's a pretty tough one to beat, although.
It kind of doesn't matter if he's got a jury nullification person.
Yeah, that's what I'm figuring.
Yeah, yeah. So in Florida, there's plenty of Trump people in Florida. There's plenty.
Oh, that's
in
right.
Georgia.
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. has virtually none.
Right. But he wants to move that. Yeah, I don't know if he'll be successful in getting that trial moved.
They're not going to let him. He's not going to get to go to West Virginia.
No, then maybe he won't find one juror who says what I just laid out.
Although that has also got some, I think, the shakiest charges, because they're going to try to get into his mind of what he knew or what he believed. And
now we move over to one of our favorite politicians. Do you want to hear from, I'm not going to call this one a word salad. It's become a word circle. Basically, what Kamala Harris does sometimes, she does get stuck on a word or two. Usually it's a fancy phrase, and she just keeps repeating it.
Like a vinyl record that gets stuck?
Yeah, but it won't come back immediately, but in the next 10 seconds, it's the same words are said again. And then 10 seconds after that, the same words are said again. This time she's, who knew, the Mongolian prime minister.
Wow.
Good luck with that name. Oyen Erdeni. Look at that last name. Lucena Masari.
They're really giving her busy work, aren't they?
To discuss tourism, mineral trade, and here's the key part, space exploration. That gives the tip off for what we're going to have in this word circle.
Mongolia is involved in space exploration?
You know, they're so desperate for good news about her, some media outlets, that she got involved in one of these Florida debates over slavery. Did you see that story?
Yeah, I know.
She jumped in and everyone's like, yeah, she's found her place.
Yeah.
It was kind of silly.
Made stuff up.
Nobody really followed that story. All right, so listen to this piece of audio where Kamala Harris is discussing with the Mongolian prime minister this idea of shared space exploration.
In particular, we will discuss the work that we will do together to strengthen our space cooperation. You and I spoke briefly about the beginning of the next era, and for you, what that means in terms of your leadership and your vision for the future. And certainly strengthening our space cooperation would be a part of that agenda, including, of course, using our space cooperation to think about how we strengthen the economic prosperity and development of our nation.
Space cooperation.
Who knew the Mongolians had a space program?
I don't think they can't possibly have one. That's what I'm saying.
They were a Jeopardy answer the other night.
No,
there's only three countries that border Russia and China. One of them's Mongolia. I got that part right. I couldn't think of the other two. One's North Korea.
You guessed Mongolia?
And one's Kazakhstan.
Well, there you go.
Just so you know now. Yeah, the only countries that border Russia and China.
What was the...
You don't hear much about Mongolia.
Have they ever sent up a Mongolian rocket?
I don't know.
I just don't remember this.
Maybe they're just getting started.
Or did they give, or is
this our way of trying to edge in there closer to China?
Did the Biden people send her on a prank mission? It's like, you go talk to the Mongolian prime minister about space exploration.
It says here, Mongolia is going to sign the Open Skies Agreement in order to commence direct flights and to promote tourism and trade, business and investment.
To where? The moon?
It could be the moon, could be Mars.
Would you take a Mongolian rocket to the moon?
Mongolia is best known as the birthplace of Genghis Khan and the great history, of course, the Mongolian Empire.
That was, a few years ago.
They became a democracy in the 1990s. And they consider the U.S. their North Star on their democratic journey. There you go. They learned a little bit about Mongolia.
I don't know. If I was vice president and this is the assignment I got, I would know I'm out of favor. Sure. I would know I'm probably not making it to the convention.
What? Here's Biden. What, Mongolian guy's here? Yeah. What's Kabbalah doing?
He doesn't know where Mongolia is either.
Give me my chocolate chip ice cream. All right, coming up next, Blake Trolley, KFI News, will talk to us about the story of the Orange County judge who has been arrested on suspicion of murdering his wife. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the air from 1 till 4 after 4 o'clock, the John and Ken on demand podcast.
All right, coming up after 3 o'clock, it's been, we were just talking about Mongolia, but moving over to China, a couple of stories. The one that we've talked about quite a few times this week, that strange illegal lab up in Reedley, California, that was run by Chinese people. Anyway, another story popped up, and Alex Stone will bring us all the details, that they've arrested a couple of military men for espionage, betraying the United States and spying for China. They're two U.S. Navy sailors. They were not born in this country, but they were made citizens, naturalized. Anyway, Alex will join us after 3, and that'll be followed by the Moist Line and, of course, the hack for the dumpster. Right now, we turn to a big story here in Southern California that broke overnight into this morning.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that is an Orange County judge has been arrested on suspicion of murdering his wife. Let's bring on Blake Trolley, KFI News, for the detail on this story.
Blake, what happened?
Well, guys, I like to begin this by saying law enforcement is playing this one very close to the chest, and there's still so much to learn about all this. But last night, police were called to the home of Orange County Superior Court Judge Jeff Ferguson for a shooting. There they found Ferguson's wife, 65-year-old Cheryl Ferguson, with at least one gunshot wound. She was pronounced dead on scene. Ferguson and his son were at home at the time of the shooting. Reportedly, Ferguson was arrested. His son is not thought to have any involvement in the crime. I've posted a photo of Ferguson's mugshot as well as a picture of the home to my Twitter feed at Blake Trolley. This happened in a cookie cutter neighborhood, kind of a neighborhood you'd see in Rancho Cucamonga. It kind of looks like that, but this time we're in, Anaheim Hills. But again, cookie cutter neighborhood. Investigators didn't give me too many details on the arrest, but we're starting to hear testimony from neighbors. They say Ferguson was saying, "Don't shoot me," speaking loudly into a phone with green laser dots on his body. A voice, presumably from a helicopter, was telling Ferguson to get down. Apparently, Ferguson would not get down, so officers rushed in and arrested him. I spoke to two neighbors, including this man who says he saw it all go down.
10, 15 cars here, shut the traffic, and about 10 people, some cops with the guns, headed to the up the hill. And they say, "Everybody stay away because it's a dangerous area." And after that, I said, "Drop the gun, drop the gun."
And again, we think it was a helicopter who was telling Ferguson to get down. We heard so many neighbors this morning tell us that they heard that helicopter, including this man.
"I heard a helicopter that kept circling the area, and my initial thought was maybe there was a fire, and it was for the fire. And then there was a large number of sirens, and from my house, I couldn't see, where the house in question was, but I definitely heard the noise in the area in the evening, so I knew something was happening. I just didn't know what it was."
And the reason I say law enforcement's playing it close to the chest, if you read the press release, and that's really all the detail that we've gotten from Anaheim PD at this time, it says Ferguson was arrested without incident. But as we hear from the neighbors, we hear the story of how this unfolded, the arrest was at least contentious, to say the least.
Well, like the green laser dots might have been a decisive factor.
Yeah, to call that without incident, seems to be...
All right. So did any of the neighbors have anything to say? Was Ferguson the local nut, or he and the wife fight a lot? Any dirt on the couple?
Yeah, John, I talked to a couple of neighbors whose son grew up with Ferguson's son, and they said they were absolutely shocked by this. We'll go to this audio. Again, they're saying to them, they seem like a happy couple.
Yeah, I saw that. He often posted pictures of her. So, seemed like a very happy family. Their son is their pride and joy and going to a great school, and I never would have imagined ever.
Does this just completely throw you off, this happening?
Completely. I remember when he was running for judge, I would like his post, support his campaign. They've lived there a long time. They seem like a great couple. They're always together when obviously he's not working, but from what I knew of them, and years ago when our kids were in Cub Scouts, they were devoted parents. And
did you guys spend time with their family ever?
In Cub Scouts, yes, and on volunteer events at Running Springs. So yes, Cheryl, mostly Cheryl. So
they seem like a happy couple.
Yeah, I didn't see. I through Facebook, right? You see that they're
well,
all. I know that they were like, from what I read, recently looking to purchase a home in Texas. Their son is going to school out there. Happy. I haven't talked to her in a long time. We like each other's posts, but again, we go way back from when our kids were little. They're the same age, graduated
posts.
The same year.
That's a relationship. We like each other's posts. Blake, the people with the most happy Facebook photos are the ones with the most dysfunction on the inside.
Is that right?
That is a rule of life.
That explain Deborah Mark.
Yeah,
mine aren't always happy.
I kind of set that up knowing you'd say that.
It's funny you say that, John, though. Aside from this story, I have noticed that. Usually when people post, posts that they're super happy, it is usually quite the opposite when you get down to it. But all of this whole case is just really bizarre. Ferguson's been on the... Superior Court since 2015. He spent more than 30 years with the OCDA's office on a narcotics unit. He was training prosecutors. He was president of the North Orange County Bar Association from 2012 to 2014. Cheryl Ferguson, we're working to learn more about her, but she did work in law enforcement for a couple of probation departments. We found Ferguson's Facebook as well as Cheryl Ferguson's Facebook less than one day, or actually, I guess it'd be about a day ago right now, but this would have been the same day Ferguson allegedly shot and killed Cheryl. He reshared a photo of her from 2013 with a caption that read, "I like that look." So he was complimenting her. The photo he reposted of her was a selfie. 3 days ago, he shared a photo of his wife and their son playing miniature golf.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Okay, he floods the zone a few days before
with
he blows
happy
her,
family pictures.
Before he blows her away.
How old is his son, Blake?
His son, I'm told by neighbors, is back in town right now from his first year in college. So I guess that puts him at like 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah, because
he goes to Southern Methodist University.
That's a late baby.
I was going to say she's 65. She was 65. So yeah, you're talking in the mid 40s.
Yeah, and he's 72. 3 days ago, Cheryl Ferguson's most recent post was from 4 days ago. It was a repost of their son in an Eagle Scout outfit. Mm-hmm. In June, she posted a photo of Jeff Ferguson and that son. She took a photo of them. They were both on their phones at the dinner table. She jokingly said, "Went out to dinner tonight, enjoyed the great conversation." So she was, you know, in jest, making fun of the fact that they were on their phones.
That's a lot of happiness to go sour that fast, huh?
It could have been one just crime of passion, big night of disagreement. I don't know.
What's all the guns they brought out of his house?
Yeah, I understand a few rifles were loaded out of his house into an unmarked car. But again, John, that's all we know. And all of these details that we're getting about the arrest are from neighbors.
Loaded
the police
rifles?
Released very few details.
Who was he preparing to take on?
It could have been a hunting enthusiast.
It could have been personal weapons. I mean, at this point in time, we don't know because, again, all of our questions are basically going unanswered. You know, this is an investigation. They're keeping pretty close to the chest.
All right, Blake, thank you very much for that report.
Keep banging on them.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Blake Trolley, all over the story out of Orange County. It's in Anaheim Hills, yeah, where this judge has now been arrested for shooting his wife to death. It's a shocker. Never came up on our radar. We have run into Orange County judges every now and then on our show.
Yeah, well, he'd only been doing it since 2015.
Yeah, I guess so. And he came out of the DA's office.
Right.
So I'm just thinking about that judge years ago that was the pedophile.
The pedophile judge, right. Remember?
Yes.
We helped drive him out of office.
Yeah, he was an Orange County Superior Court judge. They get elected. All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere. iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, the Chinese aren't just at our back door. They're in our midst. That was actually said by a U.S. Senator, Joni Ernst, from Iowa, Republican. She got wind of the story we talked about several times this week about that illegal lab in Reedley up near Modesto. Or is it Fresno? I always forget.
Fresno.
It's near Fresno.
Yeah.
That apparently has Chinese principles behind it. A weird thing where they found hepatitis, HIV, COVID, and the whole place was like a disgusting mess and they shut it down. But no one's really gotten to the bottom of what was really going on there. The other story that just popped up, we'll be talking about after 3 o'clock with Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI. And that's a story that broke yesterday. Two U.S. Navy sailors have been arrested for allegedly betraying the United States and spying for China. They're two Chinese guys. They apparently were not born here, but they were naturalized. And they eventually joined the military, and it looks like they're being accused of spying for China.
The Chinese government is coming at us in so many different ways.
Well, we got Joe. Joe is ready for this. Joe is on alert. They are. They're trying.
Joe is on life support.
You think 2019 COVID was just the beginning of the stuff they're saying?
Oh, yeah. Did you see the story that there's all these emails now being leaked that the research scientists thought they were pretty sure at the beginning that this was from the Chinese lab.
Right.
But Fauci had instructed everybody to hush that up. They didn't want to cause problems with China.
That I believe.
And so some of these guys publicly said, no way it's from the Chinese lab. Privately, that's all they were talking about. And they didn't want to go public because a lot of their funding depended on staying in the good graces of Fauci.
Right.
Yeah. So
that Fauci, where is he now? He's retired somewhere, right?
That is going to go down in history as one of the most dishonest times in America.
You see, Rand Paul wants to George Fauci. He's going. He's still
oh,
going,
he should.
He's the senator he should. From Kentucky. Is still going after Fauci to try to bring out charges against him.
Fauci's a total fraud. I hope Rand Paul chases him to the gates of hell.
You know, it was a year ago almost when Gavin Newsom stepped up and said, I'm going to have a special session of the legislature. We're going after the oil companies for gouging. Well, it's a year later. Have you heard much about it?
No.
But we have the bureaucracy. His name is Tai Mildred. T-A-I. You know who he is?
No.
He's the state's new oil czar.
That's a fake job.
He will direct the newly created Independent Division of Petroleum Market Oversight. Oh, my God. Like I said, they're building the bureaucracy. It'll be housed within the California Energy Commission. And I guess it's his job to determine whether or not the oil companies are gouging us. And we're seeing higher gas prices again. You've probably seen they're the highest they've been in a while. There's just been another
The average is $5.03. In California for regular.
Right.
Across the nation, it's $3.83. So that's a $1.20 difference. That's almost exactly the amount of tax that California puts on gas.
Okay.
So Newsom is gouging us with excessive taxes. Right. So if he wants to find the gouger, look in the mirror. The guy in the mirror, he's the gouger.
Mildred is going to make $200,000 for this job. They're asking for another $321,000 to fund his role, meaning that's his staffing. And the department plans to redirect 10 positions internally, and they ask for $2 million.
This is total nonsense. Total ripoff.
It is total ripoff.
That oil
and he
company
did this only because he's running for president. I'm doing something about gas prices in California. I'm setting up an oversight board.
He's such a fraud, and this is one of the great marvels of life. How come people in California don't see what a fraud he is? I've never seen anyone so obvious about it. A lot of frauds, you know, they're undercover, right? They do it on background, and it's hard to tell. Like Biden and his son, they were carrying on their shenanigans, but way off out of the spotlight. Newsom gets up every day and in public makes it clear he's a fraud. Boy, oil company gouging. It's the taxes, almost penny for penny. It's the taxes.
Even the SACB, I like the way they wrote this. The legislature has created a new regulatory agency which will set the acceptable profit margin and decide how to penalize companies that exceed it. In the year since, the state has yet to punish any oil company. And we told you there was a major court decision, and this has happened more than once, where they bring these cases to court about the gouging. And the judge goes, I don't think so. No evidence.
They've lost every case. Every case accusing the oil companies of any kind of price fixing and gouging has lost. There's never evidence found because the difference is in the taxation.
And it's also in the supply because how many times have we told you how the number of refineries has dropped dramatically in California? Because basically the oil companies are saying, not a good place to do business.
They
don't want us here, and they don't want you here.
They regulated the refineries out of the state.
Right, so that cuts the supply dramatically because otherwise you have to import it somehow.
So if there's anything the taxes don't cover, it is Newsom's policies, Jerry Brown's policies, that caused the closure of the oil refineries. And, you know, all the governors should have years ago done whatever it takes to get more oil pipelines into California so it wouldn't be so expensive to ship it in from Texas and the Gulf. That's their job. Whatever tax incentives are necessary should have been given to the oil companies to make it worth their while.
Doesn't this explain why we have the votes going the way they go in the state from the governor on down to the legislature, the senators? Just this story alone, because the way we just explained it is really what's happening, that California's gas prices are above the average because of all the taxation and the stuff they're trying to do for climate change. But most people, when they get the story and see the horrible gas prices, just, oh, those terrible oil companies.
Well, if you think it's your oil companies,
I'm glad Gavin Newsom's speaking out against these gouging oil companies.
They're
having record profits.
If you believe it's the oil companies, that's the problem in California. You're wrong. You're just simply wrong. You're engaging in a fantasy. You know, you have such stereotypical hatred of oil companies that you can't think straight anymore. It's Newsom and the government. It's their taxes and regulation.
And I swear, I know this is true, secretly, they love this in Sacramento because they want you to stop driving your gas car.
Yeah.
They love this. But they can't say that publicly because too many people still drive gas-powered cars.
Yeah.
So it would be politically unpopular to say.
Like almost everybody.
So you have to act outraged, but inside you're going, hee. Did you see, though, that the second quarter, 25% of the sales were EVs in California? 25%? That's a big increase.
25%?
25% of the car sales, new cars, in California in the second quarter were electric vehicles. Just California, not the country. But
we're going to see.
This is proof of that, though. Some people are saying, I'm not paying five something again.
All right, well, we'll see how long that lasts.
All right, when we come back.
When they start getting stuck on the interstate without a charging station.
China. What are they up to now? Did they actually have a couple of Navy sailors spying on Navy sailors? That's really sad. Spying on the United States. Alex Stone will be here. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.